I welcome you to join with me in the reading of God's Word as we find it in Romans chapter 1. Reading there the first 12 verses. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom also ye are the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Let's come together before the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we give thanks that we can come to one who is the living God, one who through Christ has created this world and mankind upon it. We give thanks, Father, that Christ also has been given, sent down to this earth, that thou didst so love the world, that thou didst give thine only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, we give thanks for the power of the gospel, as it is manifest in the life of Paul, as it was manifest in the life of the church at Rome, and as it still continues to be given to the church today. We pray, Father, that that power might be given in greater measure, that the church might once again be endued with power from on high, as the early church was. Lord Jesus, thou didst tell the apostles to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. And we know that then they made the gospel known in a mighty way to others, and thousands were converted. And we pray for that again today. We pray that the church might be revived in obedience, in love, in faith, and willingness to take up our cross, to deny ourselves, and to follow thee. We pray, Father, that blessings might also be given to those who need them physically, materially, in homes and countries where there is war and fear and bloodshed. We give thanks for blessings given and ask for those needed through Christ. Amen. As we continue looking at this epistle that Paul wrote to the church here at Rome, it is a message to them. It is also a message to us. Most importantly, it is a message, as we read in verse 3, concerning his Son, God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David. We saw last week how that was prophesied. It was promised to David. And we can see throughout the scripture how it was fulfilled and how Christ himself called him. Christ called himself of the seed of David. He is that. I hope every Jew will believe that the Messiah has come, and that he has come not only to be declared to be the Son of God with power, but also with the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. He came from the dead. He was refused. He was rejected of men. He was made to suffer. He died, was buried. But he rose again. This cannot be said of any other prophet. There are many that have been prophets of the true and living God. There have been, as the Scripture tells us, false prophets, those who have come in their own name, who have given a religion named after themselves. But the Lord Jesus was not only a prophet, He was that, but He was the Son of God, the suffering servant, and declared to be the Son of God with power. And He not only did live and rise again, He lives today. He speaks from heaven. When Paul wrote here to the church, in verse 7 he stated, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." This was written between 25 and 30 years after the Lord Jesus rose again and ascended up to heaven. He could still say that this grace would come from both God the Father and the Lord Jesus at that time, and is true at the present time. If we think of prophets that are revered by many, we cannot receive grace from them. They may have been teachers of morality. They have been made teachers of certain things. But the most they can do is leave their teaching. Whatever good can be gathered from them is the only good that we can receive. There is no power in those prophets who are dead. We do have the teaching of the Lord Jesus as well, but He is the living Savior. He can be spoken of today as He was then, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. He can give us that Spirit of holiness. Just before He died, He said, "He was the vine and we are the branches." He told the apostles, "Without me you can do nothing." The apostle Paul, who was writing this letter, also stated when he wrote to another church, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." The Lord Jesus strengthened Paul after He called him to be an apostle. As we read earlier in this chapter, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. It is the gospel of God. It is the gospel of Christ. God gave His Son, and that is the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel. That is the good news for guilty sinners. The good news that we can be saved. You and I must be saved. Saved from the eternal judgment of a holy God. Saved from the power of sin. Saved from the captivity of Satan. Saved from our own flesh and the world. We can only be saved through Christ. These people at Rome have been saved. He stated in verse 5, "By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name." That was one of the blessings that these people at the church at Rome had. Later in chapter 5, He stated to them, "Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." He stated many other blessings as well throughout this epistle. Here, reading again from verse 5, He said, "Of Christ, by whom we have received grace and apostleship." Instead of receiving justice, which any unbeliever will and must receive, these who were believers received grace. They received unearned and undeserved blessing. They who were guilty, they who were described with the rest of the world, in the latter part of this first chapter, in the second chapter, in the first part of the third chapter, all sinners. And as Paul stated in the fifth chapter, verse 6, "For when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." That was the grace they had received. That mercy of God, that power of God in giving salvation to unworthy sinners. I hope you have seen your full need of that. And I hope you have received, as these at Rome did, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. God gives that in love to sinners, but He gives it as well for the glory of His name. His name will be exalted. It will be exalted through the grace given to those who become His children. It will also continue to be exalted through His justice meted out, both in time and for all of eternity. God is God. We must believe that. Paul, writing to the Hebrews, stated, "He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." He does reward those who seek. It is by His grace not only that we can come back to God through Christ, it is as well His grace that makes us seek. He sends not only the Word to us, the message of the Gospel, but He sends His Spirit. When Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica, he said to them, "We came not in word only, but in power with the Holy Ghost." The Holy Spirit worked while that word was being preached. As at another time, when Paul preached, we read he opened Lydia's heart that she gave heed to the things that were spoken by Paul. Over and over, we see that God's salvation is all by grace. And it is not just a grace offered, it is a grace applied. It is a grace that comes not only in love and invitation, it is a grace that comes with a mighty power. In the book of Acts, we read of some places where Paul preached that they believed through grace. Over and over, we see this grace manifest. Here, Paul sums it up, "by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name." It is a faith given. It is a faith by which we are blessed. But it is also a faith that must be made known. He states here, "to the faith among all nations." Later in verse 8, Paul stated, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." It is given that we might be saved. It is given that we become children of God. But it is given also to be used for others. It is to be used for the glory of God. It is to be used for the blessing of all mankind. We are never just to be smug in it. We certainly are never to be proud in it. It is a gift. The Lord Jesus Himself is described as the author and the finisher of our faith. It is a faith revealed, as Paul states to the Galatians, "Before faith came, we were shut up under the law to the faith afterwards to be revealed." It is revealed in two ways. It is revealed in the Word of God. The message of Christ is there clearly given. But when we are under the law, guilty because of the demands of the law and our disobedience in regard to that law, we are then a guilty sinner. we are under condemnation. God teaches us through it, and we believe that. And there may be a time when we know that we are guilty and know that we can be saved by Christ, but do not yet have that assurance that Christ has actually died for us, that we, the guilty sinner, can be pardoned by God through Christ, and that He imparts that to us by faith. There's that time when we are taught by the law, that time when we are shut up under the law, and then when God graciously reveals to us that He pardons all of our sins because Christ has paid for them on the cross. That's the blessing described, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. Paul is really giving the summary of it here. He goes into detail later. He states also in chapter 3 how that we can have this blessing. In verse 19, for by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. This is chapter 5, verse 19. In chapter 3 we read that God is just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Verse 26. Paul here describes what this church is like in its general outworking and the general blessings that they had received. And later he goes into the detail of being guilty before God, as he does in the third chapter, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. Here he's describing what they now have in the present time. Later he describes how they were brought into that. He speaks of that of himself as well in chapter 7, when he states he had not known sin except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. He said, sin revived and I died. He makes reference to what he had or what he experienced in the time of his conversion. And so here he is speaking of them as a church that is active, a church that is under these blessings, and also who are making use of these blessings for His name, for the name of God and the name of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is including all of them, as we read in verse 6, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not to all that be in Rome, but rather all that are in Rome, which are beloved of God and called to be saints. There are churches today who pronounce the sainthood on people that have died. There must be many requirements and time passed. Here these people were in this present time called to be saints. What is it to be a saint? We think of the best people. We think of certain people. We might say of someone, well, they are truly a saint. It may be a right thing to state because they act like saints, but we are really made saints not because of our works, not because of our actions. We are made saints by the grace of God. We are made saints through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what brings about sainthood. These people were made saints not because of their own works, but because of Christ's work. And we must know that. It is true that one person might have more fruit than another, and in that way they act more like saints than others do. But any and all that have been pardoned from their sins through the blood of the Lord Jesus are saints. Listen again to these words. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. We might possibly want to explain that and say, well, they are called to be saints or called to act like saints. But I don't believe that's what Paul is here stating when he said called to be saints. They are called, as Paul later states so plainly, he shows mercy on whom he will show mercy, and whom he will, he hardens. He states in chapter 11 that if it is by works, it is no more grace, and if it is by grace, it is no more works. There is no mixing of works and grace. It is either or. If we had works that would meet the requirements of God, we could be saved by them. And then we would be saved by our works. But there is none that doeth good, no, not one. It is then by grace that we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, is the gift of God. And that's why a person can be a saint, or as we read here, called to be saints. It is not just God calling in a way of speaking by His Word and speaking generally to all people. He does that. The message is to go out to every creature. But there is another call. We read of that in Romans 8. Whom He predestined, then He also called. And whom He called, then He also justified. And whom He justified, then He also glorified. He speaks in the same context of being made conformed to the image of Christ. But yet, in that statement, there is an unbreakable chain. When God predestines, He predetermines. He then calls with a call that cannot be resisted. It is the same as the Lord Jesus spoke of when He was here on earth and recorded in John chapter 6, verse 37, when He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All that God gives will come to Christ. They will be made saints. And then He states with it in the same verse, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. It is the wonderful blessing of God standing with His arm stretched out, as Paul also said of Israel later in this epistle, all day long have I stretched out my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people. If you're disobedient, He is stretching out His arms, calling you to come in repentance and come in faith. If you have had that blessing, it is because with His strong arms He's embraced you and brought you in and given you to Christ. Join us again next week.